Hi, Vanya.
Hi.
Good to see you.
You too. Hi, Mike Jensen. It's good to see you on the FaceTime.
Does it look, I got a new phone. Does it look any different?
It looks
probably
like
not.
You're right here. Oh my God, I'm so excited you got a new phone. You look clear.
Yeah, I did it. I finally did it. I broke down and got a new phone.
Mm.
It felt a little extravagant because I went for it.
Good.
I got the 12 Pro. It has that weird third camera on the back that all... That, have you noticed that every character on every television show has that camera, has that phone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to do something that will require this. And so by buying it, I will set myself up to do something creative that will require that camera. I don't know what it'll be.
I'm excited.
Setting a goal for myself of some kind.
I am excited.
And it was really nerve-wracking.
Tell me about it.
Well, because when I got my last phone, it was because my previous phone like just wasn't taking a charge anymore. And it really got like at all. And like I literally took it into the store and they were like, yeah, this is not going to ever charge. And it was already down to like a really low percentage. And it was a very sort of like, I need to get a new phone right now. I did like a trade-in because you can like, you know, obviously you can trade in an older phone and get a certain amount of credit. It was hardly any credit. It was like $50, I think, that I got back. And it was such a like a fast decision-making process that I didn't have time. Like I thought that all my stuff was backing up and in reality, none of it was backing up because I had set it all to back up except for there's like the master button that's like, yeah, all those things that I wanted, I really do want it. Like for some reason you have to like,
yeah.
And I hadn't done that one. And so I lost literally probably like 3 years worth of photographs, including like my entire, I went to Chile and Colombia.
Oh my God.
And I had all these pictures that I'd taken on that vacation and I have none of them, like lost all of them. And it was really like sad and sort of, I mean, like to say traumatizing sounds silly, but like sort of traumatizing, like, oh my gosh, I lost all of that.
Yeah.
So I had a really lengthy process of getting this new phone where I went into the store and I made them look at my settings to be like, this is, I have this all correct, right? Like this is all going to be backed up fine. And was reassured. And I still didn't turn in my phone. Like I have my other phone right here next to me. Cause I was like, I'm just going to keep it. I'm going to keep it just in case. I think that I'm now, it's a week later. I think I'm calmed down enough that they give you 2 weeks that you can take your old phone in and still get the credit.
Okay.
So I'll probably do it now. Cause it's worth it. If it's like $80, but like $80 is nothing to sneeze at. Like that's, you know, that's a bill.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do it now, but it was a little bit nerve wracking. I don't know. Do I get too flustered by these things? What is your process when you get a new phone?
I mean, I'm mostly like worried about the price. And then, you know, just because I tend to have these like when it's for me, I get really cheap. I don't know when I'm buying it for my kids or anybody else. I'm like, let's get the most expensive thing. But if you ask, my fam or my friends, they know that I love electronics. So I like it. I like new stuff. Like I really want a new camp phone. I want your phone. I want it. So I do understand the flustered feeling of like, is it going to work? What if it doesn't? It's such a big decision. Holy crap. Have I made the wrong choice? I get that. I do that in my life every day.
Yeah. Like, so it's sort of in the same topic, but a totally different category. I got this email last night from about a flight that I have booked, the flight that I have booked for the two of us when we're going to be eating together at the end of August.
Yeah.
And it was like, this flight has changed and you have to either accept it or cancel your flight.
What?
And I was like, I know. Yeah, it was very like, wait, what? So I had to like look at the details and I could see that it was different because it was no longer a nonstop flight. And it's a very short flight. So it's kind of annoying that now I have a stopover in the middle of it.
Oh, weird.
And I was looking at other, because there were other options. Like I was like, should I cancel this and then just book this other flight that's almost exactly the same? It would get me in a little bit later.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I accepted the changes mostly because the refund was uncertain. It was like, you know, you can cancel this flight. They'll either refund you the money or they may just give you credit. And I was like, well, I don't really want credit through this airline. Like, what if I don't ever use this airline? So I just accepted it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a crappier flight than I wanted to take, but it's fine. But I'm having that thought now of like, I don't know. Should I just book the better flight?
I feel like call them.
Eat this other one?
I mean, will they answer?
Maybe.
Call them and make them do it. Be like, listen, I want this. This is what you're going to give me. And make them do it, Mike. You deserve it.
Yeah, because it was very like nerve-wracking in the moment of like, I don't want to lose this flight and then not get another flight. But I don't know. Yeah, so maybe I'll look into that. This was weird, like split second decisions where you're like, am I going to ruin everything by choosing the wrong thing?
I understand. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get it. This morning, Mike, I went to the grocery store, pick up some things. And guess what? Today, when we're recording this on June 15th in California, California's open now, man.
Yeah.
There were old people just willy-nilly walking around without a mask, but it's okay. And I wore one. I could not wear one because I am vaccinated, but I have a comfortable mask. I like it. So I'm just going to keep wearing it for a little while.
Yeah, it's funny because on one hand, I'm very anxious to not have the mask on anymore just because, for one thing, I've been wearing sort of like the same mask for almost a year now.
Oh, wow.
And it's just kind of like old and like the bridge has kind of broken apart in the nose. And so I'm constantly kind of fixing it. But it's really, really comfortable.
Right.
Like I own other masks that just maybe aren't quite as comfortable and or are fine. But, you know, I just happen to like this one. I don't know. I'm set in my ways. So on one hand, I'm very anxious to not wear it. But on the other hand, like, do you have it all that struggle? Like, I want to not wear the mask, but wear a button that says I care about the pandemic. Like, I'm not an asshole.
Yeah.
You know,
and we need pins.
Right. Yeah. Like I need like a pin that's like, I believe in science.
Yeah.
I am vaccinated. Yeah. Because I have that struggle. I wonder if I can find that meme that was like to not wear the masks, I'm vaccinated, or to let people know that I'm not a jerk, you know, like that struggle, that internal struggle that I have. Because I went out to eat last night. So my restaurant that I work at, we currently still are all wearing masks. Everyone that's working there is wearing masks. Both of my roommates who also work at restaurants, neither of them have to wear masks at their restaurant anymore. Like they're both, I went out to eat last night and it's funny that it took me a minute. I almost didn't realize it at first. And it was like kind of, it was literally a dive bar that we were getting food at. And we'll get to the reason why we were eating at a dive bar later in the episode.
Okay.
But it took me a minute to be like, I think at first I was like, oh, he's very cute. Like I've seen him before and he has his mask off. And then I was like, oh, he has his mask off. Oh, I'm seeing an entire face. And then I realized that like none of the workers were wearing masks. And it didn't bother me, but it was a little bit of a shock, a little bit of an adjustment, I guess.
Jarring.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited for the science to work and everything, but you know, it's when you read the news every day.
Well, I just,
scary.
Yeah. I just saw a headline that was like, analysis is showing that infections are going down where there are vaccinations and up where there aren't. And I'm like, what grand science? Like,
yeah.
And yes, it's important to like talk about that and put that out there, but yeah, come on. Then I go back to the shame place that I know. I like to live in the shame place. But I'm just like, come on, please.
I know.
Get your vaccination.
Well, hopefully this will show they're only hurting themselves and right now the children, because none of the children are vaccinated. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. What do you know offhand when that's supposed to start happening? Isn't it the younger happening soon?
Yeah. I heard September. I don't know. I heard September for two and up. They're testing.
Oh, wow.
They're testing them. So that'd be great for me because I have a 3 and a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
But September, they're going to be 4 and 8. So, you know,
wow.
We're approaching.
Really growing up.
I know. They're such cuties.
They are so cute.
Amelia, my daughter finished her her first grade this last week. And so now she's officially in summer break and a second grader, which is so crazy. But you know what? There's like a flash in me that feels like nostalgia. Oh, it's going too fast or whatever. But actually, I am so proud of her. She's great. She's growing up. She's healthy. I love to see her grow, you know? And so I'm trying to hold on to that. But I know it's going to go fast. And people remind you of that all the time. But you better enjoy it. It's going to go fast. But whatever. She's
I'm trying to think of who it is that I know someone, and I would, if they're listening right now, they can text and be like, it's me, I'm the one. But someone who's like, it doesn't really go that fast. Like they're kids for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I think and I see both perspectives. Like that's the whole time thing of like, it goes by so fast, but also like, can you take care of yourself yet or not?
I know. I'm like, I will not wipe butts. Actually, I do, but the 7-year-old, I'm like, this is your time. This is your job now. And she's like, okay, but you just do it so well. And I'm like, honey, you wouldn't have been home this whole year. You would have been pooping at school and wiping your own butt this whole year if the pandemic wasn't here. And listen, she does. She's going to listen to this one day and be like, Mom, you're a dick.
Mom.
Stop talking about my butthole.
And she's doing stuff this summer, right? Doesn't she have, is she doing like soccer or theater or
actually, both?
Both
kids started soccer, which was the cutest thing ever.
Oh, wow.
And she's with the older kids, which makes me a little nervous because the last time we did soccer for her, she laid on the field. She did sit on the ball a couple times. And then, but my son was like just a manic little, like crazy person running around. He reminds me of myself as a child. He's like a little more spazzy. And just, yeah. So it was so cute. And then she starts a musical theater camp, guys, on next Monday. And I'm excited for her. I'm not sure how they're going to do it because all the kids are wearing masks and they're going to film it. They're not doing like a performance, which is a bummer, a live performance, you know, but it's this cute little, some teacher melded together Annie and the Wizard of Oz. So it's called the Wizard of Annie. We'll see what kind of shenanigans she gets up to. I'm really excited. I love theater, even if it's with a little second grader.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
That's cool.
But yeah. Yeah.
Anything going on this week? It's funny that I'm trying to think of my week. I'm like, did I do anything? I guess I just mostly worked.
Yeah. I mean, same. I worked. I, you know, fretted over things and, you know, the pandemic is lifting, or not the pandemic, the restrictions are lifting here in California. It's very hot. We're having a heat wave, a desert heat wave, not a tropical one. We're having a heat wave. And it's very scary because, you know, the fire warnings go up and everything. Today it's going to be 110 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a bit of a stretch last week. Like we were in the 90s kind of all week. We're down. Like yesterday was nice and cool. We're at like 79 today.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's not too bad right now, but I know that like at my job, I haven't seen it yet, but they've now installed fans outside. So I guess that's going to hopefully make things a little bit nicer.
Right.
Yeah, there was a thing. I don't know that we're at 100%. Someone sent me a headline today of someone in office saying like, we're about ready for New York to be 100%. And I guess that's fine. New York is at I think we just reached the 70% fully vaccinated mark. So that's cool. A good number to be at.
That's what California's at.
Yeah.
Or at least Los Angeles, I think.
Right.
But I believe it's California. It's a whole state. Yeah. Guys, exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Happy to be here with you all, but also happy to be traveling soon and getting out and, you know, doing all the things that we used to do. But with the knowledge that we have now, you know?
Yeah, super. Anything you're digging this week?
Yes, Mike Jensen, I am so digging something. I've got a couple things. First of all, I am digging my brother James. It is his birthday, and by this point, it'll be past.
Happy brother, happy brother, I said.
Happy brother, birthday, James. Happy birthday, I love you very much. You are the coolest, he's an awesome friend, awesome dad, and just I love the crap out of you. Okay, so what I'm really digging. I really dig you, bro. But okay, did we talk about this, Mike? Because I was like looking in past things, but on HBO, again, HBO is serving me like hard these days.
They do good work.
Giving
they do
it good work to there. Me hard is Hacks. Hacks.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about this. Okay. Absolutely.
I got it all. Jean Smart, of course.
Jean Smart. Goodness.
Plays Deborah Vance, who is this like a legendary Las Vegas comic. And then there's a girl in it called Hannah Einbinder and a guy named Carl Clemens. And of course, Paul W. Downs, which I think is one of the creators, one of the writers on the show. But it's about this like mentorship between Deborah Vance and this like comic who'd been, you know, who's been there for like 30 years, had a residency, and this like entitled kind of outcast a-hole 25-year-old comedy writer. But did you watch it?
I'm like four episodes in.
Okay. I really like it. Like there's things, you know, of course, but I love Jean Smart. I love the relationship. It's great. Paul Downs is killing me. He's so funny. One of the writers, one of the producers, Jen Statsky, I kind of love everything she does. I think she's a really smart writer. I mean, I know this takes a lot of people to make, but she was a comedian and she also wrote for The Good Place and she wrote for Parks and Recs and Broad City, all of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. Just, I really highly recommend it. They're short episodes. They're 20-something minutes. I was sad when it was done. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed the season.
Yeah, I really am enjoying it too. I will say that I hate saying things that sound like I'm putting something down because I really super, super am enjoying it. I think because I'd heard so much about it when I first started, I was like, It's funny. Like, I think it's funny. It doesn't, like, make me, like, laugh uproariously. But what I want to pivot to really quickly is that it very quickly, particularly, like, around episode 3, becomes an incredibly, incredibly deep and interesting character study.
Yeah.
Like, both of their characters, but particularly Jean Smart, the character that she plays, is so layered and so nuanced. And then just last night, I watched episode 4, which focuses a lot on her daughter.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And it's fascinating. I mean, mm-hmm. you just, like, the layers of this character as they start pulling things back and pulling things back is absolutely fascinating. I'm going to go ahead and state right now, I would put all my money on Jean Smart winning another Emmy Award for Best Leading Actress in a Comedy. I mean, it's a great category. It hasn't obviously been announced yet, but, like, it's going to be amazing actresses. But yeah, she should. She will.
She should.
I just have no doubt. She's absolutely brilliant. You know what's so funny? You know, I've never, ever watched Designing Women.
What?
I know. I think that it was just right before I really got into television. Like, it was just right before I became, like, an avid TV watcher.
Yeah.
And then everyone that I talk to agrees that it doesn't end great. That, like, the last season or two aren't really as strong. So I've always been kind of hesitant to go back and watch it. But I do feel like now I just kind of, I mean, I've been a Jean Smart fan for a while now, particularly as of, like, Watchmen and then, you know, Mare of Easttown and now with Hacks. Like, she's so good. But I definitely am in that place now of, like, all right, I definitely have to go back and watch Designing Women now.
I think you can find it on Hulu. You can watch it on Hulu. And there's
short, I think so too. It's on
short
one
episodes.
Of those.
Yeah. It's enjoyable. The quick banter between the ladies is really fun.
Yeah. And I've seen parts of it. Like, I've seen episodes. Actually, I don't know if I've ever seen an entire episode, but I definitely have seen parts of it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that I'll like it. But yeah, no, I can fully get behind Hacks.
I also like some of the writing, you know, like some of the way whoever's writing is thinks, I think very similarly, or like have had these moments. Like, there's a moment where she starts having like sex dreams about her boss. The younger girl starts having sex dreams about her boss, and she's like, I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but she's like, oh, no, I'm not into that person. I'm just like coming. I really respect them. And I, you know, it's just the way it's worded. I'm like, yes, I would say that I feel like those words have come out of my mouth before. There's a lot of.
Yeah.
It's very fun. It's a good show.
It's very, very smart. Very, very well done. Yeah, I'm very much enjoying that.
Mike, what are you digging?
Yeah, so I saw a couple movies. I saw back to back movies in the theater last week.
Ooh.
And did you see the first A Quiet Place when it came out a few years ago?
I did not. No.
Yeah. No. So I just saw A Quiet Place Part 2, and I'm not recommending it for everyone. It is incredibly well made. They both obviously require a certain suspension of disbelief. Like, there are moments in both of them where I'm like, well, that's insane if you actually, like, logically look at what we just discovered. But they're both really well done. They're incredibly uncomfortable places to live.
Oh.
Like, both of them, they're short. Like I think the first one is like 90 minutes. The new one is like 90 something minutes. Like, they're not long, but they are excruciating places to live. That's not necessarily what I'm digging, because we're going to get to what I'm really digging, but I wanted to give a shout out to that, because I do think they're really well made, and I think Emily Blunt is...
I love her.
So, like, she's so supremely talented, and I know that it's not the important thing, but, like, we just can't seem to nominate her for an Oscar, and I hope that happens someday. She's such an incredibly talented actress. And the two kids that play the children, the girl's name is Millicent Simmons, and she actually is... I don't know exactly to what extent she is hearing impaired. I don't know that she is... So deaf since infancy. Such an incredibly talented actress. The boy is played by Noah... I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but Noah Jupe. And he's also incredible. I actually saw him in back-to-back movies a few years ago. And in the first movie, he was... I think it was A Quiet Place that I saw him in. The next day, saw him in a movie where he had a British accent, and I was like, he does a really good British accent. He's British,
yeah.
So that makes sense. But like, such a talented, like, just really very, very talented people. A very well-made film. If you can live in that space, I totally get if you can't, because it's incredibly uncomfortable. But what I have to talk about, and then I'm also going to try to address quickly some of the follow-up that has come from this. I saw the movie version of In the Heights.
Yeah.
And I saw it in the theater. I saw it in IMAX. I don't think it has to be seen that way. I will fully admit that I've also already rewatched it on HBO on my TV set.
I can't wait. I haven't done it yet. I'm very excited.
I just loved it so much. I think it's so beautiful. And it's, you know, a point was made to make it big. Like, there was a thought of, like, we're going to make it kind of, like, small, independent looking. And then someone was like, no, like, let's make it big. Let's, like, go for it. Let's, like, have big musical numbers. And it's ambitious. It's incredibly ambitious. And I just think that it's filmed beautifully and the performances are beautiful. And it's a bit different from the stage version. Like, they've definitely changed some of the storylines and cut certain parts and tightened certain things up and added in new things, but I thought it was beautiful. It's currently getting a lot of flack for it casting mostly light-skinned Latinx actors in the main roles. And it's so hard because you look at something like this and you're like, this is a movie musical featuring people who haven't really been leads in movie musicals before. And then to put a layer on top of that of like, well, it's not enough. Like, they didn't go far enough. They didn't make it diverse enough. And I think that it's totally fine to have the conversation. I think conversations are great to have. It bothers me that we're taking away from something that because they didn't do enough, we're going to discredit it for anything that it did, which I kind of take issue with, but I don't know. And obviously we're not going to tackle the entire conversation in this exchange right here, but I don't know. I thoroughly recommend it. I loved it so much. I'm seeing it again in just a few hours. I already have my tickets purchased to see it in IMAX. Yeah, with a couple of friends, we're going to go watch it. And I just think it's glorious. I recommend it to anyone. In the Heights, the movie. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Check it out.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. That's a really interesting and important thing to bring up about, you know, making sure because there is diversity in the population in Washington Heights, in the Latinx community as well. But I didn't read the whole tweet, but I did see that Lin-Manuel Miranda had mentioned that he, you know, promises to do better in the future and stuff like that.
And I think that's great too.
But it's hard for like a light, I don't know, maybe this is the wrong thing to say, but you know, I feel like oftentimes in those communities, you feel outcast if you're, I know that oftentimes the lighter skinned people can pass for white. So in their lives, maybe have not been as difficult in the way where people are bigots to them. But I don't know, you can't take it away from the people who are mixed or lighter or whatever either. So I don't know. It's a tough conversation.
Well, it also, it harkens me back to, like, I remember, like, Vanessa Williams talking about when she was the first Miss America who wasn't a white lady, her being like, well, but I was also told that I wasn't black enough. Like, I wasn't white, but I wasn't really black. And like, where did I fit in that? And that sort of, this feels a little bit like that to me as well. And once again, I'm not trying to, like, quash any conversation. I think it's a good thing to talk about, because the perspective was brought up of like, well, where's the queer culture? And it's funny because they take two of the fairly featured characters and make them a lesbian couple. And I guess people didn't, there was like, well, my straight friends didn't even notice that. And I'm like, well, your straight friends are kind of dumb then.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, to me, it was sort of obvious that this was a couple here. And there is another queer character in the show. And once again, the idea that they could do more. Yeah, you can always do more. We can always do more, but not the fact that you could have done more, I don't think should negate that you did anything.
Yeah, agreed.
There you go. I know it's complicated, but it makes me sad that this movie that I think is so beautiful and such a celebration of what we so often don't see on the big screen is sort of being undercut by people that think they could have done a better job with it. And once again, happy for the conversation.
It's a good movie, right? It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. Check it out. That's so very there you exciting. Go. And that's not even what I could do without, but I do have a could do without.
Okay, do it. Give it to us.
And this is going to be me being the, like, I don't want to come across like the pandemic is over. I need everything to go back to normal. I know that things are slowly going to change. I know that things are going to take a little while and that we need to like still take certain precautions. Okay, so the restaurant that I work at closes at 10. And what I'm going to complain about is restaurants closing at 10. So we've always closed, like, that's just sort of the restaurant that I work at. Like, we've always closed around like 10, 10:30. That's normal for us. And but like restaurants that used to be open until like midnight are closing at 10. There's a restaurant that I used to go to that closed at midnight that last night I walked by to see if they'd changed their hours, and they're closing at 9. A 9 o'clock closing on a restaurant in Manhattan that used to be open till midnight.
What?
Like trying, that's why we ended up eating at this dive bar. And now granted, they actually have pretty good food there. So I'm not totally complaining about it, but I'm just kind of ready. Can we open things? And this one place that I walked by, And I was like, I think they're open later. I think they're open till 11. And first of all, and once again, I've been the server who's like tired and it's hot out and it like you have your mask on and everything's aggravating.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, can I ask what time your kitchen closes? To which I got a huh. And I said, how late does your kitchen stay open? And he went, 11. And sort of kept walking. And I was like, well, he's pretty mad about it. So we're probably not going to come here to eat.
Yeah.
But anyways, I am ready for things to stay open a little bit later. Because when I'm done with work, I'm hungry.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you were going to live anywhere and get that, it should be New York.
Yeah. I live in Manhattan. Come on, let's stay open a little bit later.
Yeah.
That's me complaining about something that is probably not, you know, probably something that they're all working on, but I'm ready for restaurants to be open a little bit later. That's all.
Yeah.
How about you? Anything you do without?
Yeah, because I don't know. Anybody get their passports before? Well, anybody get one for children? So I went through the whole rigmarole of getting all the passport stuff, and I just got two letters back because they need their actual they need their actual birth certificate sent. And apparently they'll send them back. But I'm like, what? So I could do without that kind of nonsense. I sent in a copy and not the actual. So I have to send back the actual and a copy. It's very upsetting.
That's a lot.
That's just what I could do without. It's frustrating. And I'm like, it's a good thing we don't actually have a plan. We were going to go to Canada, but I don't think it's... You still have to quarantine for like 14 days, so we're not going to do that yet. But hopefully by the time I figure out this passport shenanigan-y fun stuff, then it'll be okay.
I was going to ask if you already had plans. So you didn't actually book a trip yet or anything?
No, we haven't booked anything, but we really want to see my husband's grandma and, you know, and our family who live up there. So it's frustrating, and I'm trying not to get overly PO'd about it, but mm-hmm. Dude... It's like, I don't even know. So I have to go find a place where I can get their birth. So it's going to add on another month to this process. I have to get their birth certificates and then send them in a mail, which I'm like, what? Really dumb.
I would have no idea. I have no idea where my birth certificate is. I'm sure it exists somewhere. I would have no idea what to do if I needed to get a copy of that.
Yeah, you should try and get a copy. Actually, you were born in Richland, right? You could probably get one.
I was, yeah.
When you go back, you might want to look into that. Go to the county clerk, I think, or something like that. It's fun.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, I should check that out. So topic. Should have sent this because I don't know how much you'll have to say about it, and I could talk about it for an hour, so I'll try to keep it I'll try to keep it brief. But I think that because of seeing In the Heights, I love a movie musical. I love movie musicals even when they're not very good. Like even the bad ones, I tend to like buy the DVD and own it because first of all, I'm crazy like that. But I think that because for me, even when they're not great, I recognize that for so many people, that's how they're going to see a musical. Like that's going to be certainly most likely the first way they see it. I think about the ones that I watched when I was super, super little that I would watch with my grandma Jensen. And that's how I was like a 7-year-old watching the movie of Fiddler on the Roof and West Side Story and Annie. And then even as time has gone by and just, you know, like I remember, like I was a huge fan of the musical Evita, and I was a huge Madonna fan, and I'll always remember when the day it was announced that Madonna was going to play Evita, and like I ran up the stairs and like I was so excited, and like I told my parents and like ran back downstairs, and my friend Jen and I like got on a bus the day it was premiering in Seattle and like took a bus that ended up being, no kidding, like a 12-hour bus ride because there was a crazy blizzard going on and we couldn't get over the mountains and they had to go like southern to go north. Like it was a crazy adventure. And we went and saw Evita like the night it came out in Seattle, and like the next day got up and like saw it again. And like I just love movie musicals. I just think that once again, even when they're not very good, I love that they exist. I love that it's like a documentation of like of this particular show. I don't know. What did you grow up watching musicals, or like, is that a thing you got into later? Yeah. What did you watch?
We definitely did. My mom loved that stuff. So we watched, well, growing up, we watched The Sound of Music like 100 times. Of course we watched Annie. One thing that I remember that I loved and watched over and over again, and a lot of people think it's like not great, is Grease 2. That's the Michelle Pfeiffer.
We've had this conversation. It's the best. I love it so
much. I love the music.
And
you know, I've had conversations with people. People are like, what are you kidding me? Grease, the first Grease is better.
Yeah.
For me, Michelle Pfeiffer's character, Stephanie Zucco, plays like such a stronger female. And I could relate to that in my mind. I was like, I wasn't so like a girly, you know what I mean? Like, I was more like, get myself dirty. I like that she worked at the gas station. She was just super, she was like a mechanic a little bit. You know, she was just coolest. And the music's really good and it gets weird.
So good.
But I love it so much. And actually, you know what's funny? In Hacks, Christopher McDonald is in Hacks, which I mentioned earlier. He was also in Grease 2 and he plays Goose. Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wait, I'm looking this up right now.
Is that the one where, that's not the Let's Do It for Our Country. He plays, no, that's a different guy, but that song is great too.
I know, I love that song. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, there we go. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. Do you watch the TV show Better Things?
Do I?
You do. It's Pamela Adlon, and she plays the voiceover artist.
Yes.
Yeah, because she was in Grease, too. She was Dolores.
Oh,
she was,
yeah,
like, the younger...
she's, like, the girl, yeah.
Yeah, hilarious. I love Grease, too. I think it is so good. I love every song. Yeah,
it's worth
super, super huge fan.
I love the song they sing at the talent show.
I'll be your girl for a season. So good. And then it, like, segues into her, like, singing a fantasy song.
It's amazing.
And I'm always in my mind, I'm like, just, can the audience hear her singing? Because, like, it cuts back to her and she's like, uh-oh, turn back, uh-oh. And then, like, she wins the contest and I'm like, she won for making up this song on the spot and there was music in the background. Yeah, it's so good. It's totally ridiculous, but I love it so much. There was a time that the lead guy, Maxwell Caulfield, used to come into the restaurant that I worked at and I was always like, hey, Michael. Yeah. There you go. I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
So good. You know, this also brings up a thing that we hadn't talked about, because I feel like we both realized that it had happened right after we finished recording. But I was thinking about the fact that we have In the Heights, the film version of Dear Evan Hansen, which against my... I tear up every time I see that trailer and I'm like, calm down,
too.
Mike. And West Side Story, we have like three huge movie musicals coming out.
Exciting.
And there theoretically will not be an award for best movie musical or comedy because they're not going to have a Golden Globes this next year.
Right. So crazy.
Which I will say, when it was first announced, I definitely was like, well, I think that NBC's playing a little bit of chicken. Like, I think they're waiting for then the Foreign Press Association to be like, no, we're doing this right away. And that hasn't happened. And so I don't know. I definitely thought that it was going to all work itself out before the year was up. And now I'm kind of like, wow, I think there's really not going to be a Golden Globes this year. And that's fine. Like, that's not the end of the world or anything like that. But it is, I'm just like, these huge movie musicals that are coming out, and that's not going to be a category.
They don't have a specific category for the Oscars.
They don't. No.
The Academy Awards.
Way back in the day, there was, there were two, I think, I'm not fully making this up. I might not be saying it exactly accurately, but there were two different score categories. There was Best Original Score Non-Musical and Best Original Score Musical. So they would honor it in that way. And I just think, as time went on and there weren't as many musicals being made, that they sort of put those categories all into one thing. And I'm not anti that. Like, I'm not saying that there needs to be an Academy Award for Best Musical, but that is kind of a nice thing about the Golden Globes, is that musicals did get a little more recognition that way. So anyways, we'll see. I mean, you know, they're still big movies, so there's a chance they'll get honored in other categories, but we hadn't really brought that up, that I might not get my Golden Globes this year, and that's fine. In the scheme of the world, it's fine. It's kind of a bummer because I love the Golden Globes, but you know, whatever begets change. If that's what it takes for change to happen, then that's what it takes.
Absolutely.
So, there you go. Anything random? Anything random you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to reiterate that you need a passport or you need a birth certificate for a kid's, like, but you need to send it in. Just want to reiterate that.
That's good to know. That's good
annoying
to know.
Fact.
Mine, I'm going to try to make brief also because it's kind of disgusting, but it's a thing that I was thinking about that I kind of thought, I was like, oh, this is a detail that I didn't share when I talked about my walk around the island that I went on. I, probably a decade ago, I was doing a children's musical tour and we had to like move. It was like literally four of us and we drove to the place and like put the set together and did the show and took the set apart and drove back. And we were moving the set at one point and I kind of like threw part of it up to like try to get it over a barrier and it landed directly on my foot. And it was so painful. And I didn't, I thought I'd like shattered my, and I hadn't, but I did. All right, maybe plug your ears for a second. I did lose a toenail. And I know that's so gross. I lost a big toenail and it was, it grew back. And of course it was weird looking for a long, long time. And I literally had two toenails that looked like normal human toenails for like, I want to say like 3 days. And then I went on my walk around Manhattan and then I lost the other big toenail. I know it's so gross. I'm so sorry, but it's a crazy thing. I want to report that I have two toenails that look totally normal again. So you would never know, but I have to be careful now of my footwear. Apparently that's so gross. I can't believe that I shared that, but it was a thing that I was like,
I'm proud of you for your honesty.
I lost two toenails. It's gross. Oh, there you go. What a lovely way to end the episode. Yes. Maybe I'll put your random thing later because it's funnier.
I don't know.
All right. Always lovely to talk to you.
Same to
Thanks
you,
Mike. Everyone for listening. Yep. I hope I didn't traumatize anyone with my toenail stories. And we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. It's important to me that the background look nicer, so I'm shutting my closet door. There, that's going to make all the difference in our recording session.
It is. I was very offended by the look of your clothing. Just kidding.